Hola, this is Gabe, and how are you doing? So, what have I been doing? I think I've fully given up on Helldivers. Apparently they fixed all the server problems, but honestly I just haven't given a shit and haven't logged on. I might try it again with some friends soon, but I'm not looking forward to it. I just had a bad experience with its launch, and fuck these developers who come out and say, dude, chill the fuck out. The game's been out only 4 weeks. Dude, you're charging $40 for a fucking game that got released. When a game goes fucking gold, that means it's fucking done. It's ready. This game wasn't fucking gold, man. At least the servers weren't. So, yeah, fuck that. But what have I been doing other than still pissed off about Helldivers? I've still been reading more H.P. Lovecraft. I am on the Charles Dexter Ward story right now. And, you know, it's actually kind of interesting. It's longer than At the Mountains of Madness, but way more interesting so far. And I'm not even halfway through it, and I'm really enjoying it. Other than that, pretty much just, I've become a Destiny 2 refugee, and I moved on to Warframe, a game that I started playing, which I thought I started playing in 2013, but it was 2014. And it's actually not a bad game. It's more than just not a bad game. It's fucking amazing. It's perfect. I love it. I want to keep playing it forever. It's officially my new game. It's my home now. I haven't really said goodbye to Guild Wars 2 yet. Maybe soon. But I still get on Guild Wars once a night for Guild Nights, which is Wednesday nights, which is tonight. But as for Destiny, I might go back for the final shape. But, I'm not really looking forward to it. And I still get on The Division, probably Fridays. It's been just Fridays so far. And who knows, if my friends play even more than just Fridays, I'll probably get on more than just Friday. And I'm kind of enjoying this, going around playing three different games a week. Mainly sticking with Warframe, which I'm still catching up on the story. I'm preparing for the new war. And man, I'm kind of excited, but yet not happy, because I'm just worried of what the fuck's going to happen in the story. Am I going to be prepared? Is it going to be a mistake? Am I going to be prepared? I don't know, but yeah. But you know what? Let's see. What are we going to talk about today? We're going to be talking about The Pope's Exorcist. And I have some notes here. more than just some notes. I mean, I really wrote down what the fuck I was thinking about the movie and stuff like that when I was watching it. And I'm going to be going, you know, again, whatever. It's going to have spoilers, because I'm going to be going through the whole movie as it went down. And, you know what? If you would like a recommendation, you know, whether you should see it or not, I say yes. You should totally fucking see this movie, man. Like, okay, so check this out. This movie came out in April 2023. I remember first hearing about this. I remember my brother telling me about this movie. He was like, yeah, are you going to watch this new horror movie with Russell Crowe? And I'm like, wait, what the fuck? A horror movie with Russell Crowe? Like, man, has his career gone down that fucking bad that he's doing horror movies now? And I was like, I don't know. I haven't heard anything of it. And just one day I happened to see a trailer. This is The Pope's Exorcist. And turns out that's the movie, because my brother didn't know the name. So I'm like, okay, so I check out the trailer, and Jesus Christ, dude, this trailer looks like shit, mainly just because of how cheesy, like, a lot of the shit that was shown. Just, I don't know, man. I mean, of course, a possessed kid screaming or having a demonic voice, you know, but by this time, it's just gotten stupid. I really hate how whenever a child's got, like, the voice of, like, a fucking, a monster, I guess you could say. Because with The Exorcist, it was fine. It was perfect. There was nothing creepier than seeing a little girl sounding like an old man or just like a really old lady. Because there's some parts where Reagan does sound like an old lady. And that's like when, well, she did sound like Burke at one point too, you know, because like Burke was speaking to her. I guess Burke was in there. But remember the part where she first gets a visit from Damien and is just so calm talking to Damien? You know, he's like, oh, no, it's not the one, what a wonderful day for an exorcism. It's the first part where Damien first sees her. And, you know, I probably one of my most quoted scenes of any film where he's like, well, you know, how about we introduce ourselves? I'm Damien Karras. And then you just hear like, and I'm the devil. Now kindly undo these straps, you know, but it doesn't sound like a fucking beast or whatever. It just sounds like an angry elderly person. But then again, she does calm down and, you know, they start speaking Latin. And to me, that's just insanely fucking creepy. Another movie that comes to mind that I thought somewhat did it right was that shitty movie Stigmata. And I've seen that movie so many times and I'm still like, who the fuck is she being possessed by? Like, I guess there's demons in some part and, oh yeah, she gets possessed by a dead priest in one part. But it's this one part where she goes up to Gabriel Byrne, who plays a priest, who the same year played Satan on End of Days. But she goes up to Gabriel Byrne, who is the priest, and she says, how's your faith these days, father? And it just sounds like some dude, just some British guy. And I'm like, you know, that actually is pretty creepy. Up until the next part where the voice is raised and says, repeats the question, how's your faith these days? But yet, Arquette's kind of overacting the scene. And I'm just like, she fucking ruined it. I don't know. Yeah, fuck that movie. You know, I still like it, though, because of the ending. I thought that was cool with the dove coming out of the fire. I thought, oh, that's such a badass scene, but fuck that movie. Plus, Gabriel Byrne's fucking cool. I love that guy. But yeah, you know, let's talk about more of the Pope's Exorcist. So, who is it directed by? You know, and that's interesting, because I've never heard of this guy. It was directed by Julius Avery. He's an Australian filmmaker. And what are his movies? His feature films: Son of a Gun, 2014. Overlord, 2018. Samaritan, 2022. And The Pope's Exorcist, 2023. I have not heard of anything besides The Pope's Exorcist. And the screenplay was written by two homies: Michael Petroni, who I have not heard of anything he's ever fucking done. The Right, 2011. The Book Thief, 2013. Black Track, 2015. Possession, 2009. Jesus Christ, what are these fucking movies? The Dangerous Lives of Altar Boys? Till Human Voices Wake Us? Oh, he's one of the writers of Queen of the Damned? What the fuck? The screenplay of The Queen of the Damned was by Scott Abbott and Michael Petroni. I mean, oh man, that was a shit movie, dude. It was garbage. No, I don't care what anyone says. That's a fucking garbage movie. And the other writer, the screenwriter of The Pope's Exorcist, is, Jesus Christ, Evan Spiliotopoulos. Polis? Dude, change your fucking name. Whatever, but theatrical releases, you get the Jungle Book 2, Art Heist, Pooh's Heffalump movie. I remember that fucking movie. I used to work at the theater when that came out. Kulue, Battle for Terra, Hercules, 2014 Hercules, with Dwayne Johnson, The Rock played Hercules, what the fuck? The Huntsman, Winter's War, Beauty and the Beast, 2017, with that fucking chick from Hogwarts, 2019's Charlie's Angels, oh, that's the movie that was not meant for fucking dudes, and it bombed hard, and then they ended up blaming dudes for not seeing the movie. Yeah, that's the fucking movie. Unholy 2021. Huh. Oh, it was actually directed by him, and he was also the producer. Oh, and it was produced by Sam Raimi. You know, I might have to check this one out then. The Unholy, alright. And then in 2021, dude also, oh my god, he did Snake Eyes, the G.I. Joe Origins. Holy shit. Oh, man. And then the Pope's Exorcist says 2023. Oh, yeah, the dude's also done a bunch of direct-to-video movies, like The Lion King 1.5, Tarzan 2, Pooh's Heffalump, Halloween movie, Cinderella 3, A Twist in Time, The Little Mermaid, Ariel's Beginning, and Tinkerbell and the Lost Treasure, 2009. I mean, he's done other fucking movies, but I mean, I'm just trying to point out, this dude has a lot of fucking Disney movies. This dude's worked with Disney a lot. But anyways, we got to jump into the movie. And again, there's going to be spoilers like all over the fucking place. I'm literally going to be talking about the fucking movie from start to finish. And hey, you know what? If you want to know if I think you should watch it or not, I say yeah. The movie is insanely cheesy. It's cringe, but... And I'm not saying it's one of those movies where it's like, oh, Russell Crowe's so bad, you have to see it. No, like, Russell Crowe is fucking badass. This movie sucks, but every scene Russell Crowe is in is just great. The dude's amazing. He's always been fucking amazing. Russell Crowe has just always been the shit. And I want to see more horror movies with him in it. He is just fucking great. And again, it's like every scene he is in, it just makes me love the movie. And I'm not going to say it's like my favorite movie of last year, because no, I mean, I give that to The Killer. Is that what it was called? With Michael Fassbender, The Killer? But you know what, man? It's then again, my second favorite of the movie of last year would be When Evil Lurks. This would be my third favorite movie of last year, probably. Just because of how fun it was. How entertaining. This is a movie you want a fucking bucket of popcorn when you sit down to watch it. Some popcorn, your favorite soda. And I do not recommend getting drunk. You just have to appreciate how fun it is to watch Russell Crowe in a horror film. And just, it's obvious, I guess, to me, how much fun he had making this film. You know, like how Jeremy Irons was just literally having like the fucking time of his life making Dungeons and Dragons, what, from 2000? I guess that's like the vibe I got from Russell Crowe in this movie. It just seemed as if this dude was just having fun. And the fact that he signed up for the fucking sequel, because this movie had a budget of $18 million and made $77 million worldwide. They're like, yeah, they're going to make a sequel, apparently, and hopefully coming out this year or next year. I think it was, yeah, I don't know. I hope I hope they make an announcement soon or sometime this year. Because I loved it, and I want to see more. And I'm excited. I just want to see Russell Crowe kicking demon ass again, and that's all I want. There's nothing I want more out of Hollywood than to see Russell Crowe just mocking demons, cracking jokes and just kicking demon ass. That's all I fucking want. Please give me the Pope's Exorcist too. Like, please. I fucking need this. But yeah, you should go watch it. 5 out of fucking 5 from me. Even though most of the movie's cringe. And that's the parts without Russell Crowe. Any scene without him, I'm just like, oh, fuck this movie, dude. But every time he's on screen, I'm like, dude, yes, dude. I'm glad I saw this fucking movie. So please, go watch it. Enjoy all the Russell Crowe. He's fucking amazing. All right. So, we're going to be talking about it now. So, the story takes place in 1987. You know, like the start of the movie. I remember, again, I'm reading from a bunch of notes. And even though I've been wanting to see the movie again, I was like, you know what? I'm going to wait, but I just haven't yet. I am going to watch it again. I fucking love it, but I like the start of the movie with him not being like other priests in any other movies. You know, instead of trying to talk to or prepare for some ritual, he instead mocks the demons and, or demon, because we said at the movie, he mocks the demon and he challenges it. You know, asking it to possess someone else. As a show of power. And instead of it possessing someone else, it goes right into a pig with someone there ready with a shotgun blasting it in the fucking head. And that's it. You know, the victim's saved. Gabriel is a badass already. So yes, Russell Crowe is playing Gabriel Amorth. I hope I'm saying that right. So afterwards, we see Gabriel at the Vatican with his boss, Bishop Lumumba, who serves under the Pope. This is where we find out he is not like other priests. He has faith, but he doesn't agree with God's rules, saying, you know, that we will be judged based on how much we love him. The bishop says he's going to defend Gabriel since he is not like other priests and sees things differently. So, we move on from there, and here we meet Julia and the kids. Amy and Henry visiting their new place in Spain. So, Julia, the mom, and Amy and Henry, the brother and sister. And they're in this new place that they inherited in Spain. And, you know, a bunch of workers in the area. This somewhat reminds me of Hellraiser, just a bit. With the movers. You know, the new people moving in. But that's just it. It just got a little Hellraiser vibe. That's it. And it turns out the place was left out to them by their father/husband. Amy really looks like she doesn't want to be there. She hates it. That's the sister. But this is where the mom tells us that the place was left to them. And with no income, they plan to fix up the place and sell it, then move back to the U.S. And here we also learn Amy and Julia don't have a good relationship. Amy is still in a rebellious phase, you know, like all fucking teenagers. And Henry, who's a child, who's really young, he's not spoken in almost a year, which is how long his father died. So Henry's exploring the new place, and he finds some ancient-looking thing behind the wall. Something that looks like it's cracking open. And that's what it is. I mean, it looks like he's in, I don't know, a basement or some shit with a really long hallway. And there's just some hole in the fucking wall, and there just happens to be something on the other side. So we move away from there. Now we go to Gabriel. The whole time with the priest, it's all in Italian too. Until his hearing at the Vatican. They don't like that he asked a demon to demonstrate his power and consider the thing with the pig an animal sacrifice. Aside from his tactics, they did not approve. He is a badass and a successful exorcist that uses methods not approved and seen, well, his methods are seen as outdated by the Vatican. He accuses the Vatican of them not wanting any more exorcists, since one of the priests at the hearing wants him vacated. He turns his back to them, but before he does, he tells them to talk to his boss, the Pope. And that's badass, right? He just fucking, yeah, fuck you, kick rocks. But at this point, Crow already has me liking him. Again, I was going in to see this movie like, oh, he's going to be a fucking clown, I bet. No, he's proving it, man. This dude still got it. He is such a badass, like, with his John Constantine attitude. Now, you know I bring up John Constantine a lot, but that's because I fucking love him, right? And, yeah, he's got this John Constantine attitude of not giving a fuck, and I answer to fucking no one attitude. So, you know, now we move to back of the house in Spain, and we see a glimpse of the whole shit that's cracking on the wall, or behind the fucking hole, and Henry opening his eyes from his sleep. I guess it was just like, you know, like a fucking dream, but whatever. But like suddenly being awakened, one of the workers in the basement sees a hole in the wall and lights a flare for a light. This ignites an explosion and him being fucking taken away by EMS. That's it. Just lights it up, boom. Next thing you just see him being rolled away. The boss of the workers says they hit a gas deposit and it takes the whole team out. Then we see this ancient tomb-looking thing in it, and it fucking growls or some shit. I guess the tomb growls. And Henry is now shaking in his sleep. You know, that's the kid. And he's calling for his mom, which is not normal. He's never, the kid doesn't fucking talk. Or it's been almost a year. So, with Julia and Amy there with him, he tells them they're all going to die, and he fucking claws his face. That's just, I mean, I'm not saying it's insane, like, it's cringy as fuck. Yeah, that's just expected shit the way Hollywood wants you to. How they just do, like, it's like the action movie of exorcist films, I guess. So, then we get, you know, the normal shit. Kid goes to the hospital, they say everything is normal, all that shit. I was liking it until the cliche, you're all going to die a bit. And then we start getting loud jump scare sounds. Like, when the lights go out, there just has to be a loud sound. Oh, man. And, like, an upcoming scene that made me laugh out loud was when Julia was hugging Henry. And he just starts grabbing her tit. And she pulls his hand away and she's like, no. And then Henry says, I'm hungry, you fat cow. Like, Jesus Christ. And he goes on to say, like, you never breastfed me, mommy. This was fucking hilarious. I was like, dude, this is just like, I don't know. I guess these dudes just saw a bunch of exorcist films and they're like, you know what, let's just turn the knob to fucking 11. But yeah, that was a really cringe moment, man. Oh yeah, and then Henry lifts his shirt and the word hate is on his stomach. Dude, it's hard to tell if it looks like scratches, carved, like if it was carved in or burned, but it looks like a bloody version of Reagan's help stomach message. And like when he lifts his shirt, he's like, "Bring me the priest, girl." You know, this is so fucking stupid. Yeah, I swear, man, it's just, these fucking writers, man. Go watch a fucking good horror or, you know, exorcist horror film. Jesus Christ. The cringe cliches, acting, production. I had to look up to see if it was in any way attached to Jason Blum. But it's not. You know, fuck Jason Blum. But this really feels like a Blumhouse movie. But the family bring a priest, like, immediately after he said so. And, dude, so we see the priest holding Julia's hand, you know, the mom. He says it's going to be okay. Walks into the room. And suddenly we just see him coming flying back out through the door. And Henry shouts, wrong fucking priest. And this is insanely cheesy and cringe. But he never specified, like, what priest. He just says, bring me the priest. But, you know, whatever. But yeah, now we see Gabriel talk to the Pope, or Gabriel. The Pope says he's got people in the Vatican who wish to see him, you know, weak after Gabriel tells him he's been told that the Pope is sick. The Pope also explains that those bossy assholes in the Vatican do not understand the devil the way they do. The Cardinal and the others are young and they don't believe in the devil. That it's only an idea to them. And here's where the Pope assigns Gabriel to the case in Spain, which is Henry, the kid, possessed kid. This possession is taking place on hallowed ground. San Sebastian Abbey in Castile? Jesus Christ. The Pope says this place has been stirring shit up with the church and he senses great evil coming from it. And he believes that only Gabriel can solve it. As Gabriel is looking at Henry's records, he sees a quote, "Our sins will seek us out." So off he goes to Spain. And dude is riding a scooter with a fucking Ferrari sticker and a Guinness sticker, like a pint glass of Guinness. So fuck yeah, I love Guinness. And, well, Gabriel meets Padre Tomás Esquivel. Tomás is a fan of Gabriel. Like a big fan. And they meet Julia, but Julia is clueless and has no idea her son is possessed. She is wondering why they sent a priest when she just wants her son to be well. Henry goes to see Henry. What the fuck? Well, you know, the priest goes to see Henry, but Henry's asleep. When Gabriel is praying, Henry wakes up and his eyes roll back. The demon tells him his prayers are worthless there. Gabriel shows him his pendant thingy. Yeah, he has a, you know, probably like a saint pendant. I don't remember it too well. I guess it has some power that shows him if there is a demon in the possessed. You know, the person is possessed. It makes the demon's eyes show. When Gabriel asks, what is the demon doing there? The demon says it's there for him. Specifically him. The demon speaks Latin. He just makes like every crucifix everywhere fall. The demon refuses to tell its name and knows of the pig trick. The demon also knows Gabriel's name and says he knows his nightmares. To which we see a nightmare of Gabriel's soldiers dying. At the time, I'm like, what the fuck's going on? And there's like a bunch of Nazis everywhere. Oh, maybe they're Nazis? I mean, I don't know. And, you know, Henry vomits up like a fucking dead bird. And Gabriel is like, fuck this, and he pieces out. Gabriel talks to Julia, the mom, to find out why the demon is possessing this one particular kid, you know, her son. Gabriel also says the only way for a son to come back is through faith. She then reveals the reason why he's so fucked up. His dad died in a fucking car accident, had a pole impaled right through his head, and Henry was in the back seat. He just witnessed the whole fucking thing. You know, that kind of trauma is a fucking gateway for demons, I guess. So, it's like, how does a demon choose to possess? Hey, this one's dad had a pole right go through his face. You know what? That's a perfect one, dude. Let's go. But Gabriel asks if the husband was her soulmate. She says yes. He asked if she ever believed in God, but she says only when she was a little girl, and that she believed. And she also believed that a guardian angel walked her to school. So Gabriel tells her to pray to it. To pray to that guardian angel. So, we now see Amy walking around the house, the daughter, following knocks she's hearing. She's hearing knocks. She's, yeah. But, you know, they're leading her to Henry's room, where he tells her he is in hell. Amy then answers a ringing. It's her dad, who turns into the demonic voice saying, "You're all going to die." When Julia asks Gabriel what they are going to do, he says, "Coffee. Demons grow stronger in the night." When talking to Tomas, he tells him this demon is very strong. So his plan is to pray. Demons are self-preserving and don't understand suffering. So with constant praying, he believes the demon will give itself up due to the pain of the prayer. Gabriel now turns to Tomas to confess his sins. They must be absolved or the demon will smell them. But then he's just like, well, he just says, just say you're very sorry, and it ends the confession. It's fucking hilarious. He also asks the priest to learn jokes, because the devil does not like jokes. When preparing for the exorcism, the demon asks if he can call him Gabe. That's nice, because I hate it when people just started calling me Gabe. And you know what? I started calling myself that, because I got fucking used to it, but I prefer my full name. I love the name Gabriel. Fuck yeah. But the demon calls it a battle. You know, of course it's going to be a fucking battle. So yeah, I mean, it's the, one of the ultimate battles of good and evil. So the demon the demon threatens to fuck the priest. That's a hardcore threat right there. And they begin praying, and the demon kid is all freaking out, and suddenly the power goes out, and Gabriel pulls out a lighter and then sees Rosaria standing in front of him. The girl he let die, saying her soul rots in hell. The demon now turns to Tomas and calls him panty sniffer and accuses him of having sex with little girls. I mean, come on. If we wanted to be more accurate, he'd be like sex with little boys, right? Because that's what priests do, but you know what I mean. To which Tomas starts strangling the demon-possessed child. These damn priests, keep your hands off them kids. But the demon tells Gabriel that the church will crumble from inside. At the Vatican, we see the Pope with a huge-ass book, and that's it. It's all fucking suspenseful. Like, well, what the fuck's this book? Well, I mean, that's all we see. So back in Spain, we see Tomas sitting on the steps looking all sad and shit, saying she was the love of his life, that she wanted him to leave priesthood, you know, the one that the demon accused him of sleeping with. And she wanted him to leave priesthood, but he refused. And Gabriel turns, and he turns the situation into a confession and absolves his sins. Gabriel then says that Rosaria was a girl he should have helped, then saying the demon senses their guilt. The goal now is to find out the name of this demon. Gabriel also says prayer has more power in Latin. Before Gabriel left the room, the demon said, you have taken a bait. Amor. So, Gabriel then realizes that this is not about the boy. There's a bigger plan here, man. So Gabe goes outside and finds a seal of the Vatican covering a well. And he opens it by tying a rope to his scooter, and he pulls it. Upstairs, Julia is sleeping with an arm covering, with an arm coming over her. You know, it's just all, oh shit. I'm just thinking about Poltergeist and a fucking clown, but whatever. Tomas is in the hall reading the Latin book. He hears a noise and goes to the door. He sees Henry sleeping. Amy at this time is hiding under her covers, still hearing knocks. Tomas approaches Henry, touches his hand. He moves close to Henry, and Henry bites his ear, saying no one will make it out of there alive. Jesus, how many times is this motherfucker going to say, y'all going to die? Y'all going to die down here? Or whatever. But Amy gets pulled out of her bed, flies to the wall, and she fucking spits out blood. And Julia wakes up with the arm on her, and she screams, and it covers her mouth. She gets Johnny Depp'd into the bed, if you know what I mean. You know, like a Nightmare on Elm Street, Johnny Depp. But you know, outside, Gabrielle tosses a lantern into the well, and an explosion happens. So he comes back inside and hears all the random shit happening. He pulls Julia out of the bed, and then assists Tomas in opening a closet door with Amy being tossed around. Prayer makes it all stop. The growling fades away, and there is Amy's blood on the walls and claw marks. Tomas pulls out one of Amy's nails from the wall. Gabriel tells him to take Julia and Amy in to the chapel. Oh yeah, I forgot. There's a chapel in his house. The house has a chapel. It's that fucking big. At the Vatican, the Pope sees a bunch of stuff has been redacted from the huge book he was given. With a quote from earlier, our sins will seek us out. With the girls in the chapel sleeping, Tomas is wiping the blood from his ear. Gabriel tells him he doesn't get to stay handsome in this business for too long. To which Tomas asks him, you know, hey, just be fucking serious for a while, you know, stop telling jokes. But Gabriel says he once had a demon try to put a crucifix into his eyeball, but it only annoys Tomas and asks him to stop. You know, I guess he was going to start another joke. To which Gabriel agrees only to let the little girl sleep. Gabe then asks Tomas if he's figured out why the demon is doing this. He says for chaos, but for Gabe says for distraction. But for Gabe, what the fuck am I? But Gabe says for distraction. They go outside to see the well, you know, with the seal, of the Spanish Inquisition. Along the walls of the well are a bunch of skulls, you know, because they're inside. Those are those who would not convert. Gabe feels something is hidden down there. They go into the basement of the house and find a hole in the wall. The tomb thing that was cracking open has two crossed keys and a Vatican seal. When Gabe sledgehammers the wall, Henry wakes up. The seals were on a door. Opening, they see a catacomb with ancient corpses in the middle, there's a fucking corpse that's been there a very long fucking time in a fucking cage right in the middle. And, of course, other corpses all around. But the one in the middle has a ring of the Cardinal Protector. He was the final hope. The cage was for his own safety. The whole thing, being enclosed and sealed in there, were for those who could not be saved in exorcisms. This place, this room, this big-ass box is an entrapment for demons so they cannot escape and fucking remain hidden. Gabe asked Tomas to open a gate. It's locked. So Gabe thinks the Cardinal Protector must have a key. The key is in his stomach. While this is happening, the Pope finds a letter. It's from the Cardinal Protector informing them of their worst fears. San Sebastian Abbey has been overrun by evil, that it must be buried forever. All attempts have failed, and Satan owns the grounds now. And that Cardinal Protector has never seen a demon that powerful before. After he's done reading that, he has a fucking heart attack. Gabe and Tomas now head into this area that was locked up. Tomas says, Tomas says the gases and the Jesus Christ, what the fuck did I type there? Sulfur or surfer is getting stronger. Gabe believes that they are getting closer to hell. While this is happening, Julia wakes up. Amy is gone. You can hear weird demonic laughter in the distance. I mean, it's fucking stupid. I think that's just cheesy. So, now many things are happening at once. Gabe and Tomas find some ancient looking, I don't fucking know. I don't want to say altar or ritual grounds, but there's some of these, like, stone pillars surrounding a statue of something. Gabe says it's the Friar de Ojeda, one of the greatest exorcists of all time. So it's not a statue, but the remains of this friar, I don't know how to fucking say it, sitting on a throne. Or it looks like a throne. He's holding a book with the seal of the Spanish Inquisition. It's his journal. The journal has something written of a day he was summoned to a town called Segovia to see a possessed monk. In the year 1475, he questioned the demon-possessed monk and answered like the demon dude. Oh, what the fuck, like the demon dude? No, he answered him from the mouth of another. So yeah, he asked the demon-possessed monk something, and the demon-possessed monk answered in another voice. And then another voice came out. So there were multiple voices. So Tomas says it sounds like multiple possession. Like the demon dude was possessing multiple people at once. Or the demon was possessing multiple people at once. And while that is happening, we got the Julia looking thing. Oh, the Julia. What the fuck? We got the Julia looking for Amy thing happening in the house. She grabs a syringe and fills it up with something, but I don't know what the fuck it is. I guess something to fucking sedate whoever she injects. I guess, you know, the kid. That's what I think is happening. Because remember, the Pope is in the hospital. The Pope had a heart attack. After we heard about the whole thing that they found. And I figure that's what I'm saying. Because the syringe comes into picture after Gabriel closes the journal and walks away from the legendary exorcist corpse. But after the syringe is being filled up, which is just seconds, we see Julia calling out to Amy and going up the stairs with the syringe in hand. And it all came to me. This is the stuff the nurses gave to her after taking Henry to the hospital. And guessing is to knock his ass out. And she's looking around and she hears Amy's demonic laughter. Yeah, so Amy's now fucking sounding possessed. Leading us to believe that she's now possessed. After telling us this demon has all necessary upgrades to do so. Yeah, I mean, this demon fucking grinded out all the XP just to be able to do all this shit. But while that is happening, and I mean, from the time where Gabe and Tomas walked into the tunnel to find the legendary exorcist, the Pope is in the hospital and Bishop Lumumba, Gabe's friend from the beginning, is there visiting him. The Pope asked the bishop to tell Gabriel something, but before he gets to say that, the other priest present, who is the guy who wants Gabriel removed from the Vatican, he's like, what the fuck did Gabriel get us into now? Fucking asshole. And, you know, then like the Pope fucking projectile vomits on his fucking face. And it's like bloody vomit too. So, and man, that was some shitty CGI blood too. Like garbage fucking quality. 18 million. I guess 18 million, most of that went to Russell Crowe. And that fucking house in Spain. So back under the house where the legendary exorcist corpse is at, Tomas opens an Iron Maiden that was nearby while Gabe reads the journal again. Apparently, the exorcist got possessed. This legendary Friar exorcist is also the guy who convinced Queen Isabella of a need for an Inquisition. At this point, I knew where it was going, and dude, it instantly reminded me of the game Dante's Inferno, which was developed by Visceral Games for EA, which is almost the same thing. The story. So, Gabe adds it all up and comes to the conclusion that everything from when this Friar was possessed in 1475 was the work of the devil. Since it was a possessed Friar, geez, I'm sorry for saying this, I just can't fucking, you know, Friar. Since it was a possessed Friar who convinced the queen by saying, you know what? You know what the fuck we need? An Inquisition. All these fucking terrible crimes were started by a demon-possessed Friar and done in the name of God by the devil. Also, real quick, I had to pause and just fucking ask Google, how do you pronounce this? And it says Friar. So there, Friar. I'm fucking sorry. Friar. But in Dante's Inferno, the video game, it's the Crusades, and it was a demon-possessed Pope who ordered the Crusades. Dante's friend or father, forgot which, but in the game, when Dante runs into him, one of those tell him that the Crusades were not done in the name of God, but in the name of murder. Or Dante tells one of them, I forgot. It's been so long since I played that game. Like 2009? Man, that's a long time ago. But yeah, I remember it was being a boss fight. So, anyway, Gabe says the Vatican must have known about this and that the church covered it up. So all this underground shit and, you know, the walls being bricked up and all that shit, it was just covered up by the church. And Tomas says that the construction freed the demon. They find a map and Gabe says a quote. The great dragon was hurled down, hurled into the earth where he was bound, and his angels with him from Revelations. Gabe says 200 rogue angels were buried into the earth, and that this abbey is one of those places the angels were buried in. He now thinks the demon was trying to find them to raise an army and destroy the church. So, Julia finds Amy holding hands with Henry. They tell her it's okay and are speaking in sync. Julia is asking Amy to come to her, but she won't. She pulls Amy by the arm, and Demon Kid pushes her with his... Well, I mean, they're both possessed. But, you know, Demon Kid pushes her with his demon powers into a mirror and starts choking her and Amy at the same time. So, I guess Amy wasn't possessed yet? I don't fucking know. But he starts to twist Amy's head, but it cuts to the demon in the journal. Wait, no. It cuts to the hospital. So, yeah. While this is happening, it cuts to the hospital with the Pope and the Bishop. And while that is happening, Gabe finds the name of the demon in the journal. It's Asmodeus, the King of Hell. Okay, who the fuck is the King of Hell? It seems like every demon in every fucking horror movie is like the new King of Hell or some shit. Or some other guy is like the King of Hell. But they also mention Satan as, like, the superior dude in hell. Like, what the fuck's going on? I don't know these fucking rankings, how many kings of hell there are, but whatever. So, Gabe says the name Asmodeus. The kid freaks out and drops the girls, but Amy's head and neck are okay, even though it looked like a fucking Twizzler just seconds ago. But as he's freaking out, the chapel windows blow out. The Pope is having another heart attack. Julia tells Amy to grab the syringe, and Amy jabs it into Henry's throat. You know, while he's freaking out and growling and all that shit, and it instantly knocks him out. So, they fucking tie him up. He's fucking powerful. You think that? Well, I mean, I guess it's worth a shot, right? So, while Gabe and Tomas are downstairs, Tomas repeats the word the demon said, "Bring me the priest." He says the demon didn't want Tomas, but wanted Gabriel. Now, here's the problem. Was this directed to us as if we didn't know? Because I don't know about anyone else who has seen this movie. But I thought the demon was talking about Gabriel. So, this whole time, I've been asking, why did it want him specifically? Shit, even the demon says wrong priest after it fucking threw Tomas out the door. Anyway, Tomas says this demon feeds on exorcists, so it wanted the fanciest dish on the fucking menu, which is Gabriel, because he's like the fucking MVP of exorcists. And, you know, he's the top demon slayer of the fucking Vatican, dude. He's like the top demon deporter and shit. So Gabriel realizes this demon wanted to do the same as it did with the legendary friar. To possess him and infiltrate the Vatican. But Gabriel says knowing its name is all they need to beat it. So Gabriel makes a confession about things he confessed before but still fuck with him. Like this one thing that fucks with him back from 1942, fucking World War II. Gabe joined a resistance against the Nazis. All his friends died, but not him. Even though he was fucking shot. He was shot, and he woke up, and he was surrounded by the corpses of his friends. And there was a cardinal singing to him, a bird. Not the priest rang cardinal, you know, but you know what the fuck I mean. So this is why he became a priest. So here we're told the story of Rosaria, who says he did not believe her. What did he not believe? She said that at night, the devil fucks her. Yeah. Poor Rosaria. But yeah, the devil fucked her at night. When he asks, what does the devil look like? She says it looks like him. And she is now holding a cardinal bird and fucking bites his head off. Again, shitty CGI, whatever, but... I mean, I don't know if it was CGI or just shitty, just puppeteering, but whatever. He believes she was mentally ill. And one night, she's on the roof of a building asking if he believes her now, and then she fucking jumps off and splats all over the ground. So, after her death, he heard rumors of her sexual abuse within the walls of the Vatican. Because that's where she was being held at. She was being held at the Vatican. And it was all covered up. Something that they still do to this fucking day. Fuck the Vatican. And you know what? I do believe there are a lot of good priests out there. But also, a lot of them are just bad. They're fucking pedophiles. And yeah, the Vatican just covers shit up and relocates these fucking pedophiles. So yeah, fuck the Vatican. But Gabriel says he's feeling guilty for not believing. For not believing her when she needed him most. He says her soul is his burden and that the demon knows it. Tomas absolves absolves him of his sins. Gabe blesses a girl, saying the defeat of the King of Hell, with the defeat of the King of Hell, they will require the armor of God. Or, not with, but, you know, they'll require the armor of God to fucking beat him. Then we hear a screeching scream, and warns them that the demon will use their sins against them, and to not, you know, just don't fucking believe them, dude. Just cover your fucking ears. You know, let it go in one ear, out the other. So, Henry has now reached max demon possession level. The demon is showing Gabe all these illusions of Rosaria and showing Tomas the girl he wanted to have sex with. So Gabe gets Tomas to snap out of it and they start praying. But here's the thing. While they are praying, the kid is like, I am Asmodeus, the king of hell. I command you, blah, blah. While this is happening, the girls are praying. But how do they know these prayers? I've grown up with a Catholic family my whole life, dude, and I don't know a single prayer. Julia said she hasn't believed since she was a kid, and she only prayed to a guardian angel. Amy has said nothing about believing in God or having faith. Whatever. I guess they have good memories. Henry's mouth stretches open. I hate this fucking trope. It's cringe, it's dumb, and only people who suck at watching horror movies find it creepy or scary. Really, if you like scenes like that where, oh, somebody's mouth just stretched open and you think that's cool, you know, you suck at watching fucking horror movies. Go fuck yourself. But the demon seems to be pushed back and Henry comes to. Gabe lifts his shirt and we see a message being written, like it's being fucking carved in there and shit, saying, not here. Meaning Henry is not there. Or that's what you think. Because Gabe lifts his shirt up more and it reads, God is not here. And now Amy's possessed. The daughter. She does this cringe spider walk and climbs up the wall onto the ceiling and drops down. And Henry attacks and holds down Gabe while Amy attacks Julia. While Tomas goes to help Julia, Henry holds Tomas by his scarf fucking holy thing. You know, that thing that Reagan vomited into when that purple thing Father Marin had. You know, and now I'm talking about another movie. Man, this is confusing as fuck. Anyways, Tomas vomits on that scarf thing that priests wear. I forget what it's called. And he lifts them up. I can't even fucking tell. You know what? There's a big ass fucking fight happening, okay? That's all you need to fucking know. Julia is wrestling Amy in the fucking bathtub now, asking for her children back. Amy bites her hand. Gabe says it is he, the demon, who is fucking, I don't know, that it's Gabriel that the demon wants. I mean, he's attacking everybody else. If he's so fucking powerful, why won't he just possess Gabriel? But I guess because Gabriel's too much of a badass, so he's attacking everybody else to get to him. So Gabe allows the demon to enter him, to that way all this shit can just stop. This wakes up the Pope, saying, "No, Gabriel," you know. So everyone comes back to being normal, but Gabriel is standing there holding his cross. He asks Tomas to take it and to take everyone out. When they leave, the demon tells Gabe that his soul is now his. All fucking Shang Tsung, right? Like, your soul is mine. You know, fucking Mortal Kombat. So, while this is happening, we see the priest who wants Gabe kicked out of the chapel. He starts freaking out as if his fucking head's about to explode or some shit. And the statue of Christ starts bleeding. So, you know, that's what he's saying. So, now possessed and eyes all red and black, the demon says he knew Gabe would sacrifice himself to save the children. Tomas sends off the family and stays behind to help Gabe, who is attempting to kill himself by hanging, but the demon won't let him die because he needs to access the Vatican. So, Gabe runs back into the underground area where the legendary friar is, saying, "Damn us both to hell." He pulls out a lighter, since the place is a fucking match away from blowing up. Right as he's about to light it up, he sees Rosaria coming out of the pit, which turns all evil-like and shit and fucking starts attacking him. When Tomas arrives, he sees Gabriel, sitting on the throne. Fully fucking possessed, dude. Like, beyond max level. Tomas asks Gabe to fight, but the demon says Gabriel is in hell. Tomas asks him to pray with him, but this fucking pisses off the demon, who slams the staff on the ground, kicking up a cloud of dust, lighting up the fucking symbols on the stone pillars that are there, and the throne with like this fiery glow, saying God is not here. Tomas prays, and it's weakening the demon. And while this is a... Well, shit, dude. I mean, I gotta talk about this moment real quick first before we go there. When he kicks up the dust and just all the pillars light up, dude, it just looks so fucking badass. Like, okay, it's got shitty CGI blood and whatever, but... I don't know. Just the lighting on the rocks, on the throne, this fiery glow, just... Not super bright, but just there, it's very noticeable. Man, it just looks so fucking cool. I love that. But yeah, you know, Tomas is praying, you know, weakening the demon. And while this is happening, we see more of the long mouth thing. And now the demon says he will take both of them to hell. And out of the fucking Iron Maiden comes a girl who wanted to fuck Tomas. Fucking covered in blood. And while that's happening, Rosaria is choking Gabe. So they're fighting these fucking girls that, you know, dudes versus chicks, I guess. So while they're wrestling these illusions, Tomas pulls out the ring that was on the protector's hand that Gabe gave to him. He pulls it out of his pocket and puts it next to the bloody naked girl's head. And she screams and fucking explodes, dude. But it's like a fucking blood explosion. Like a bag of blood went boom. Like Tomas is like fucking completely covered in blood. And then he hands Gabe's crucifix to him. And he puts that on Rosaria's head. And she fucking pushes... He pushes her off into the pit where she fucking came out of, which is now a fucking lava pit. Now they're both praying, and the Rosaria demon is screaming in the lava fire pit and fucking explodes. The pit goes away and turns into water. Tomas learned the Latin. They make jokes and drink whiskey. Tomas, you know, he's cool now, right? Fuck yeah. But yeah, they learn jokes and drink whiskey. And then, you know, fast forward, we're now at the Vatican. And Gabe and Tomas meet the Pope. And the Pope is like, you kicked ass and want us another fucking round. We also find out that the Cardinal Sullivan, the guy who wanted Gabriel kicked out, has taken a, Jesus Christ, sabbatical? Jesus Christ, what the fuck is that? In the Isle of Guam. Gabe says he shall pray for Guam, making a funny, you know, he's like making a fucking joke. You know, with him gone, the Pope upgraded Lumumba from bishop to cardinal to take his place. So, I'm expecting some bullshit like, oh my god, the demon is still there, because when Gabe kisses the Pope's ring, we get a shot now focus on Gabe's raising his head, looking at the Pope for a second. But then we see Tomas and Gabe following Lumumba through a place he calls the Holiest of Holies. It has 12 centuries worth of shit, like letters from saints, ancient holy books. It's like the endgame raid weapons, pretty much, dude. Like, dude, if you want the fucking top shit to defeat the most powerful fucking demons, you come here. I mean, they should have fucking prepared him anyway for that, right? Well, I guess they didn't know they were going to be facing such a legendary demon or whatever. But he tells him that the Vatican has bought the abbey from the Vasquez family and, well, reconsecrated the soil, and the family is safe back in the U.S. I guess the family got their money, so everybody's happy. So now that the Vatican have all the stuff from the sites, they have been studying everything and will soon know, they'll soon know all the other 199 sites on Earth where the angels are buried. He asks Gabe if he's up for the job of going to each one of these sites and kicking ass. But Gabe is like, you know what, that's too much work for one priest, yo. So he asks Tomas if he's up for being his fucking partner and kicking demon ass. And Tomas is like, let's fucking get to work, yo. Dude, when this happened, I was like, yes, dude, yes, I hope they make a fucking sequel. So right after this part, well, because this is like the end of the movie, like, I went ahead and looked it up, and I was like, okay, they're making a sequel. All I want is at least one more, and because by the end, I was really happy with this fucking movie. But before the end credits, we see a text on screen as Gabriel is walking. And it says, Gabe continued to serve the afflicted until his death in Rome in 2016. You know, remember, this movie set in 1987. And wrote many books. The books are good, which is funny because, you know, that's a little bit of his humor. He wrote many books and the books are good. And when he first met Tomas, this is what he said when he first met Tomas, you know, like when they first had their first encounter in Spain, and that he had many books. And the movie ends, you know, on a funny little quote, and I appreciate that. And you know, in the end credits, you see this was based on the books An Exorcist Tells a Story and An Exorcist More Stories by Father Gabriel Amorth. And the after credits has a photo of the real Father Gabriel Amorth sticking his tongue out. And you know, by this point, I had no clue that he was a real person. I didn't know he existed. And I was like, well, that's actually pretty fucking cool. And I asked a friend of mine if he had seen the movie. He's like a really long time family friend. And he's a Satanist. He's been a Satanist his whole fucking life. And but this guy, he can appreciate, like, cool shit like that, good versus evil. And I asked him what he thought of the movie, and he said he fucking loved it. And he thought that they did a good job in, you know, representing the priest, because he's familiar with that priest. He said that the way he was in the movie is just the way he was in real life. Like, exactly like that. And he thought Russell Crowe did an amazing job, and I thought he did an amazing job. Again, I thought this movie was going to be garbage, and I was just like, man, I can't believe we're going to get to see Russell Crowe in the lowest point of his life doing fucking horror movies. Oh, it was going to be so sad, but guess what? It wasn't, man. It was fun, and I want to see Russell Crowe do more fun stuff. The movie wasn't scary at all, but with Russell Crowe, like, his scenes were just badass, and I'm completely fucking satisfied. If this movie were on Steelbook, I'd fucking buy it on Steelbook right away. I mean, who knows? It probably is, but I guess I gotta look for it. But yeah, The Pope's Exorcist, I say you gotta check it out. If you bothered listening to this fucking whole spoiler thing, but you know what? I guess I'll leave that as the Spotify question. Did you like The Pope's Exorcist? If not, why? But yeah, that's it for today. And yeah, I had a rough time reading the fucking notes because I just woke up, and I had my soda, my vape. So yeah, I'm still getting into the fucking day. But yeah, man, thanks for hanging out. Peace out.